ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, 10th canto, chapter 2, text 36. And your cell phones are all off, right? Yes. Nanāma-rūpe guna-janma-karma-bhir nirūpita-vyetavastasya-sākṣinaḥ Manovachobhyam anumeya vartmano Deva kriyayam pratiyanchyata pithi. I think we can try the fan here, this one. Let's give it a try. O Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate on the path of imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. So we're continuing the purport. The pure devotees who are always absorbed in the thought of the transcendental lotus feet of Krishna and who are always engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness are never to be considered to be in the material world. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that those who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness by body, mind, and activities are to be considered liberated even within this body. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord have already transcended the material position. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Goswami says, Iha Yasya Harer Dasye Karmana Manasa Gira Nikalap Vyashvavasthasu Jivan Mukta Suchate. If somebody is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness with body, mind, and words, then he is to be considered a liberated person, even while in this material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Padmapatramivambasa, he's like the lotus leaf floating on the water, not drenched by the water. He's, even though he's still within the material body, he doesn't identify with the body or with the things pertaining to this body. He identifies himself with Krishna, as a servant of Krishna, and therefore he's jivan mukta. He's a liberated soul, even while in this material world. Mam chayo bhyabhacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samiti chaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Because he's fully engaged in the service of the Lord without deviation, he's transcendental to the three modes of material nature, and he's situated on the spiritual platform. Krishna appears in order to give a chance to both the devotees and the non-devotees for realization of the ultimate goal of life. The devotees get the direct chance to see him and worship him. Those who are not on that platform get the chance to become acquainted with his activities and thus become elevated to the supreme, to the same position. So Krishna attracts the newcomers by his activities and qualities, and the devotees are already attracted, so they get the direct association of the Lord. The Brahma Sangita says, Premanjanachchurita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achincha guna surupam govindamari purusham tamahang pajami. Although Krishna's transcendental form is presented as black, devotees who are in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead appreciate the Lord as Shamsundar, having a very beautiful blackish form. The Lord's form is so beautiful that the Brahma Sangita also states, Venum kanvantam aravinda dalayataksham parahavatam samasitam buddhisundarang sundarangam kandarpa koti kamini avishesha shobham govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who plays on his transcendental flute. His eyes are like lotus flowers, he is decorated with peacock plumes, and his bodily color resembles the color of a fresh black cloud, although his bodily features are more beautiful than millions of cupids. This beauty of the Supreme Lord can be seen by devotees who are in love with him, devotees whose eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. Premanjanachchurita bhakti vilochanena. But Krishna is not visible by material methods or by material approach. Atta Sri Krishna namadi nabhaved grayam indriye. Sevan mukhehi jivado swayameva spratyada. He is visible to those to whom he reveals himself because of their love for him. One can't see Krishna. That's also stated in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna told Arjuna, you can't see this, my form, by austerity, by penances, by erudition, by this, by that, by charity, by pious works. You can only see me by devotional service. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvata. By devotional service, one is able to see the Lord and appreciate the Lord. Otherwise, one doesn't have the right eyes to see. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, pashyanapi na pashyati, although he sees, he doesn't see. Those who have mundane consciousness, even if they see Krishna, won't be able to appreciate Krishna. They won't be able to appreciate. Because their consciousness is dull. They can't appreciate. Just like it takes a certain kind of person to appreciate money. A child won't appreciate money. For him, it's just paper, puts it in his mouth, makes an airplane of it, tears it up. The same thing that an adult sees as being very valuable, the child sees as being of no importance. It's a question of consciousness. The businessman sees a check for $20,000. The child sees a paper airplane. Seeing is not everything. It's not just what impacts itself upon our retina. That's not seeing. We see with consciousness. The Prabhupada gives the example. You look up in the sky and you see a big red ball up there. But you have to have the consciousness of a scientist, or you have to have eyes of knowledge to see what the sun really is. 93 million miles away, so much heat, so much. Otherwise, it's just a bright colored ball in the sky. It's a question of knowledge. It's a question of knowledge. Or in the case of Krishna, it's not just knowledge. It's not that because I took a course and I know something, now I can understand Krishna, now I can see Krishna. First of all, nayam atma pravachanena labhyo namedhaya nabahuna shutena. It's not, Krishna's not understood simply because someone attended a course, someone did some research in the library. He's accessible to the person to whom he reveals himself, not to the person who does deep study or deep speculation. That won't help. So when there's love for Krishna, then one will appreciate Krishna, how beautiful he is, how charming he is, how wonderful his activities are. Everything about Krishna, the devotees will understand, and the non-devotees will talk, speculate about, dismiss, and so on. Therefore, that offense is there, not to discuss the glories of the holy name of the Lord to the faithless persons, because they won't get it. They'll just trash it. Well, what is that? Anyway, they'll just trash it. But a person at least has to have some interest. Then we can discuss something. And the advanced topics of Krishna can be discussed among those who are his devotees. The Lord is also known as Giridhari or Giribhadadhari, because Krishna, for the sake of his devotees, lifted Govardhan Hill. The devotees appreciate the Lord's inconceivable strength. But non-devotees, in spite of directly perceiving the Lord's inconceivable strength and power, regard the Lord's activities as fictitious. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. When Krishna does something wonderful for a devotee, it's a source of appreciation, a source of, inspiration. Oh, Krishna's so wonderful. And for a non-devotee, it's proof that Krishna's fictional, because no one could lift a hill. Therefore, Krishna couldn't have lifted a hill. Therefore, it's simply fiction or exaggeration. Maybe some little child lifted a big mound of sand or something, and then the story got blown up over time and it became... And they have to speculate that way, because their starting proposition is that no one could do these things. For some reason, God is not capable of lifting a hill, you see. That would be too much. So they have to start with their atheistic proposition or their mundane point of view and demand proof, demand this, demand that. And all right, so they can demand whatever they want, and of course they won't get it, but they'll get it between the teeth at the time of death. Non-devotees cannot give any nomenclature for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet the Lord is known as Shamsundar and Giridhari. Similarly, the Lord is known as Devaki Nandan and Yashoda Nandan, because he accepted the role of son for Mother Devaki and Mother Yashoda. And yes, for Mother Devaki and Mother Yashoda. And he is known as Gopal because he enjoyed the sport of maintaining the cows and calves. Therefore, although he has no mundane name, he is addressed by devotees as Devaki Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, Gopal, and Shamsundar. These are all transcendental names that only devotees can appreciate and non-devotees cannot. It said God has no name, God has no form, God has no qualities, and so on. And that's all right. He has no mundane name, form, or qualities. His name, form, qualities, and so on are all transcendental. Na bhaved grahyam indriye. So the devotees appreciate Krishna in terms of his loving pastimes with his devotees, and they remember the Lord by these transcendental names, which indicate his transcendental qualities, pastimes, and so on. So by hearing the name of Gopal, the devotee is reminded of Krishna's activities as a cowherd boy. By hearing Devaki Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, the devotee is reminded of Krishna's activities in relationship with these devotees. And the non-devotee just doesn't get it. He thinks in terms of some mundane, speculative, dull mentality. The history of Krishna, the person, has been openly seen by everyone, yet only those who are in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appreciate this history. Whereas non-devotees who have not developed their loving qualities think that the activities, form, and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fictitious. Therefore, this verse explains, Nanama rupe guna janma karma bhir nirupita vye tavatasya shakshinaha. I was thinking of something. I had a thought, but it went away. Yeah, Prabhupada said this is what it means that Krishna's features are confidential. Confidential pastimes, confidential names, confidential, everything confidential. Confidential means that materialists won't understand it because they're not interested. Prabhupada sometimes said confidential is like baby pictures. If somebody comes to you with his wallet and shows you his baby pictures, so you don't care. Because what's the baby to you? But when he shows it to his family members, they say, oh, the baby, da 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 da. They appreciate. Because they have some love, some connection. And the outsiders look at it and they just see a baby. And they think, another baby. So those who love Krishna will appreciate everything about Krishna. And they'll be overwhelmed. Kedara Mahavyuvalo. They'll be overwhelmed with ecstasy by the name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna. And the non-devotees won't get it. They'll just look and say, well, they're, I don't know, there's some sort of sect and they believe in some, I don't know, something Mahabharat, some history. They won't get it. So it's open, it's right there out in the open, but it's confidential, it's a secret at the same time. Krishna says, Rajaguhyam. How is it Rajaguhyam if it's published in Bhagavad Gita? Gita Press has distributed millions of copies, BBT has distributed millions of copies, and still it's Rajaguhyam. It's the most confidential secret. Most confidential secret means that unless one becomes a devotee, one won't understand it. One won't understand. You can put it right there out in the open, and it remains a secret because those who are not devotees are not interested. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given the example that persons suffering from jaundice cannot taste the sweetness of sugar candy, although everyone knows that sugar candy is sweet. Similarly, because of the material disease, non-devotees cannot understand the transcendental name, form, attributes, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although they actually see the Lord's activities, either through authority or through history. The Puranas are old, authentic histories, but non-devotees cannot understand them, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of Vedic knowledge. Non-devotees cannot understand even the preliminary study of transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita. They simply speculate and present commentaries with absurd distortions. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam's confidential, Bhagavad Gita's confidential. They can't even understand Bhagavad Gita, which is the ABC study, the introductory study of transcendental life or Krishna consciousness. They don't even understand that. They read Bhagavad Gita and their Bhagavad Gita is, yes, Krishna says, whatever you like, that's what you do. Whichever God you want to worship, it's all the same, everything's blah, 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 blah. They have all these crazy ideas that have nothing to do with the actual message of Bhagavad Gita. So for them, Bhagavad Gita is confidential knowledge. Therefore, Krishna says, Raja Vidya. And what to speak of Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita? I think I've given the example here before of some professor who translated Chaitanya Charitamrita, a very learned, celebrated professor. His book was published by Harvard University. And there's the pastime where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falls into a trance, and then the Patan soldiers come. You know that? So the devotees are all there surrounding the Lord, and the Patan soldiers think that these are some sort of dacoits who've attacked this sadhu and stolen his money, and so they're about to arrest the devotees. So the devotees are... So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes out of his trance, the devotees chant Hare Krishna, the Lord awakens, and the Lord sees the soldiers and sees the situation. He says, no, these are just my companions, it's all right, everything's okay. Sometimes I have a little epilepsy and I fall into a, you know, I fall down, and so these people are helping me. So the Patan soldier, oh, okay, then it's all right. So the mundane scholar, he reads the pastime, and instead of appreciating the humor of the situation, he takes it as evidence that Lord Chaitanya was an epileptic. You know, he doesn't get it. It just doesn't register because he doesn't have love for Krishna. He doesn't have love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so the whole thing remains hidden from him. It simply becomes an opportunity for some speculative exercise. And he never gets the benefit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's actual message. He doesn't, it doesn't get across that I'm serving, he can translate it, he can comment on it, but he can't get it. He can translate Harinama, Hedranama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam exactly, perfectly, because he's a great scholar of Sanskrit and Bengali, but he can't chant Hare Krishna. He can't say that my business should be to chant Hare Krishna. No, my business is to speculate and write books and drink alcohol. So one has to be a devotee of Krishna. In conclusion, unless one elevates himself to the transcendental platform by practicing bhakti yoga, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his name, form, attributes, or activities. But if by chance, by the association of devotees, one can actually understand the Lord and his features, one becomes immediately a liberated person. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. chaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore said that by affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotees can express their mind to him with their words. Others, however, cannot do this, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvatah. Any questions? I quoted Rajavidya, Rajavidya Guhyam, but there it's also said that the process of devotional service is joyfully performed. I've been practicing this thing for 45 years now and in the renounced order of life. So what are the principles or practices?
What are the principles and practices that can help one blissfully practice Krishna consciousness in the renounced order for years?
No intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no illicit sex. And chant 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, avoiding 10 offenses.
Maharaj, we have heard this, like Prabhupada emphasizes a lot on this 10 offenses, and but still that we see that very few devotees, you know, over the last 40 years have kind of practiced and survived. So, I wanted
to... You think, it's not that they're all high visibility. Not that everyone who survived has to be high visibility. Probably a lot of them have survived by not being high visibility. But yes, some have made it and some have taken detours. So what's your question?
Yeah, so I was wondering, Maharaj, that there are a lot of temptations and obstacles come. So we may be practicing these four principles, but how do we survive those tests that come in our Krishna consciousness? What factors will help us survive those tests that come in our lives?
Same thing. Keeping good association. What is that? Utsaha nishchayat tariyat tat tat karma pravartana sangha tyagat sato vrite shadpira bhaktir prasidyati. Srila Rupa Goswami is outlining how to practice devotional service. What to avoid, what to accept. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. What's the rest? Right. So accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. So Srila Rupa Goswami explains what is favorable, what is unfavorable. So So if we hold on to the unfavorable things, that will be problematic. If we toss out the unfavorable things and cultivate the favorable things, then that will be progressive. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam najatuje. Always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. Everything else is in support of that. Is that okay? Yes, Maji.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I really came to have your darshan. I'm so happy to see you. My question has two parts. When I came to Krishna consciousness, I was reading Prabhupada's books and I was very much fascinated. But the idea, the bottom line I got was to love Krishna. That was all. And Prabhupada explained so easily, so naturally, don't you love your son? How you make things for him, how you love your children, husband or whatever it is. Same way love Krishna. So I thought it is so easy to love Krishna. So love you cannot induce, it should come. But when you stay in the company of a person or think of him, you naturally start loving. So many years, hearing so many lectures, reading so many books, I'm really, really attracted towards Krishna. I can't claim that I love him. So what happens, we also hear, and I love to read lot of books. I'm reading Krishna Katha books and all. But I understand also in many lectures that they say, oh, you should not discuss Krishna Katha, Radha Krishna Katha to everyone. It is very secret, this, that. And you get really, really intimidated. What? We can't talk of Krishna and Radha to people when you are overwhelming to talk about them to somebody. Of course, non-devotees will not listen only. So I want to know, when we love somebody, we always talk of that person. Like my son got a car, he got a girlfriend, he's talking, he got child is doing these pranks, yeah, blah, blah, blah. We always talk of a person.
That's all right, but do you always talk about what he's doing with his wife?
Pardon?
Do you always talk about what he's doing with his wife?
No, but I do so talk what she does to me.
That's all right, but there are so many dealings about your son. You know, he got his PhD, or he got promoted in his company, or he won the soccer match, or he did so many different things. But his intimate dealings with his wife, you may not publish in the newspaper.
I wouldn't know what his intimate relations with
you don't
his
even
wife
know,
is.
Right? Even if he's your son, and you don't know all of those things. Therefore, it's confidential. Even though I may love my son, even though I may want the whole world to know about my son, it's not that I publish everything. Because there are some topics that the general public won't appreciate.
We won't talk to general public, never.
Exactly. That's not meant for them. You know, how he looks at his wife, how she looks at him, how he's... That's not for
they everyone. Won't understand you.
They won't understand it. So even though I love him, it's not that I feel I have to tell the whole world, you know, how he deals with his wife. That's private matter. So, love Krishna, just like Prabhupada, he loved Krishna, but he didn't feel, now I have to go and tell the whole world everything that Krishna is doing with Radharani. That's not for the whole world. He loved Krishna, so he ran around the world. You're not this body. Life is not meant for sense gratification. Give up your nonsense and surrender to Krishna. These scientists are all rascals, and so on. It's not that because he loved Krishna, he had to always go around talking about something in the groves of Vrindavan and something esoteric, bhav this, bhav that.
So what should we love talk was, about Krishna?
Love was that he preached the message of Krishna all over the world, published so many books about Krishna, made so many temples of Krishna, engage so many people in devotional service to Krishna, so many things. It's not that because I love Krishna and I have to blab all about his confidential activities to unqualified persons.
But suppose you can't sell books, you can't talk of Krishna to devotees.
Krishna, talk of Krishna is fine. But it's only that Krishna does one thing. Krishna, all he does is he's in Vrindavan with Radharani and the gopis and conjugal affairs. He has nothing else to do. He's killing so many demons. He's expanding himself into 16,108 to marry so many wives. He has activities for creating the whole cosmic manifestation. He's speaking to Arjuna at Kurukshetra. Krishna has so many activities. Why am I stuck on this one thing? That I can't talk about Krishna. If you don't let me talk about Rasalila, then I can't say talk about Krishna because there's nothing else to say. That's one of Krishna's activities. Krishna has so many activities. Why are we stuck on only this one feature? Shukadeva Goswami, when requested to speak on Bhagavad Katha, didn't jump to Rasalila because there was nothing else worth talking about. 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then so many other chapters of Krishna's activities. And then again, after Rasalila, so many chapters of Krishna's activities. If he loved Krishna, why didn't he just go for the good stuff?
You see? And Maharaj, I also hear that when we are overwhelmed by Krishna's beautiful activities, it brings tears to our eyes. And they say, when we read about how Yashoda Maya ties him, the rope, he doesn't have Adi, Antar, Madhya, but Yashoda, he agrees to get bound by Yashoda. And then we also hear all the universes are existing in Krishna, but he agrees to go into the womb of Devaki. How he protects Prahlad Maharaj, how he washes Sudama's feet, all these things touches our heart. Too much that we start crying. They say, oh, if you cry, it is all show off, it is sahajya, this, that. Isn't it natural that it touches our heart?
You're allowed to cry.
But it brings tears to your heart with happiness.
That's good. We don't have a sign on the door, no crying. Just there's a class of people who have no love for Krishna, but they have love for fame and adoration and money, and so they cry for money. You press the button, put in a rupee, and they'll cry. So not that kind of crying. The devotee doesn't, he's not eager to exhibit his love for Krishna. Sometimes it may come to public view, but not that he's looking for the opportunity. You know, I'll really show them some ecstasy today. Not like that. But in the course of his sincere service to Krishna, sometimes the feelings become manifest and these things may appear.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, we have come into devotional life and we have spent many years into devotional service. And now the age is increasing. We are coming near to death. We know the years are going to be very less in this material world. But we also wanted to see that we finish our life in devotional life itself. But on the core of our heart, we also wanted to check ourselves. We don't want to show to the people, but we want to check ourselves that are we really advancing in devotional life or not? We want to check by ourselves. We don't want to show to the people. So what should be, as and when we spend more years in devotional life, we wanted to have some checking point in our life. So can you just tell us what should be the checking point that should be there in our life, which we go on constantly?
Our
go on
attachment
checking.
For sense gratification is decreasing. That's the check. How my attachment for sense gratification. Otherwise, I'm loving Krishna more and more, but I can't give up attachment for sense enjoyment. And then there's something contradictory. We should see, what is that? Bhaktir Parasyano Bhavo Viraktir Anyatracha. We should see how we're becoming detached from material enjoyment, so-called enjoyment. Is that okay?
Sometimes we know that detachment is the sense gratification is the only thing that is becoming a blockade. On one side, we have some responsibilities, and we have to hang on with that responsibility because we have created that responsibility.
And that for some time. And then at the mature time, one has to hand over the responsibilities.
Maharaj, how to check what is that is a mature time? When is that we have to check? When we can check it that mature time has come?
Look in the calendar. Really, look in the calendar. If it says you're 50, then it's time. Or Manu says, look in the mirror. If you see the hair is turning gray, wrinkles appearing on the skin, and you're seeing the children of your children, time to go. So, you know, in legal contracts they write, you know, 30 days or such and such, whichever comes first. There's a time for everything. So there's a time for family responsibilities, and then there's a time for detaching oneself from family responsibilities. Is that okay? Yeah, wherever the microphone goes is okay with me.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, in one of the purports, Prabhupada says, practicing Krishna consciousness is like declaring war against Maya. And I've heard a statement that without determination, we are like animals. So we all are at a different level of determination from zero to some percentage.
Hold that a little closer.
So how one can increase our determination from any percentage to go higher?
How can we increase determination by associating with those who are determined? By brahmacharya life, that increases determination. By detachment from sense gratification, that increases determination. By hearing, chanting, serving, that increases determination.
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sometimes we are given some service in which there is a lot of scope of sense gratification, gross or subtle. So should we give that service up because we are doing sense gratification knowingly, unknowingly, or should we keep doing it so that one day it will reduce?
Well, there's two things. There's scope for sense gratification and there's sense gratification. You may have a position where there's scope for sense gratification. But if you don't take advantage of that, then it's all right. You know, just like treasurer. The treasurer has scope for sense gratification. If he's clever, he can use the position and embezzle sufficient money to live a comfortable life. He has scope. So, but as long as he's not exercising taking advantage of that scope, it's not a problem. Otherwise, if he finds that, you know, I'm too attracted to the money, and then better to, you know, mop the floors or something where you're not going to get into trouble. distributing books. There's scope for sense gratification. You can meet people who, you know, you can make friends with women, or you can meet people who will offer you a job, or you can, you know, there's different ways that you could get sense gratification out of it. As long as that's not what you're interested in, it's not a problem. So the main thing is our consciousness. We should stay focused on Krishna consciousness and stay in good association so that we don't misuse the scope. Otherwise, if we find ourselves in a position where there's scope for sense gratification and we want to exercise it, then we should do something about that.
This subtle sense gratification, like name, fame, prestige.
Hmm?
Like, how to get rid of name, fame, prestige? We have a lot of...
Name, fame, prestige.
Deep-rooted desires.
How to get rid of name, fame, prestige. Just try to glorify the name, fame, and prestige of Krishna. Just like we see Srila Prabhupada, he was given so much credit, but he transferred the credit. That if there's any credit, it's due to my spiritual master. If he didn't glorify, just like there are people who started movements all about them, and it's known by their name and so on and so on. But Prabhupada was interested in glorifying Krishna. So one should be humble. There's a prayer in Latin, Non nobis domine, non nobis, sed nominis tuo da gloria. Very nice prayer, actually. The meaning is, not for me, O Lord, non nobis, not for me, Domine, O Lord, non nobis, not me. Sed nominis tuo da, but may your name be glorified. So that's the right idea, that it's not for my glorification. My desire should be that Krishna's holy name is glorified. Then it's good.
Maharaj, one devotee commented that in ISKCON there is a lot of discussion about Krishna Katha, but there is no straight Krishna Katha.
There's no?
Direct Krishna Katha.
Discussion about Krishna Katha is also Krishna Katha. Just like in the Bhagavatam it said, Satam prasangad mamavirya samvido bhavanti hridkarna rasayana katha. Taj joshanadap ashuapavarga vartmini shraddha ratir bhaktir nukramishati. Glorifying the Krishna Katha. So Parikshit Maharaj didn't interrupt Sukadeva Goswami. He said, wait a second, you're talking about Krishna Katha. You're not speaking Krishna Katha directly. Speaking about Krishna Katha is also Krishna Katha.
Can we say that both can be done? Like...
Yeah, it's absolute. Not that we can only say how powerful it is to speak about Krishna, but we can't speak about Krishna. It's seamless. It's not one way or the other way. We can talk about Krishna and how he's stealing butter, or how he's washing Sudama's feet, or how he's doing this, how he's doing that. And we can also talk about the potency of all these things, his form, his qualities, his name, his pastimes. Bhagavatam does both. Just look at Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam sometimes is directly telling Krishna did this, Krishna did that, and sometimes it's discussing the value of these activities, or the meaning, or the potency, or the effect.
Raj, the further thing from the discussion with the devotee came was, Prabhupada have given in his books specific activities about Krishna, not just his conjugal
activities with the gopis, but also many other pastimes. And also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada has revealed the activities of Lord Chaitanya. But what is the reason in Prabhupada classes, he rarely spoke any stories or pastimes, sometimes Sakshi Gopal story, or few times Prabhupada spoke on pastimes. But in his books, he has given even to the public, and a new person can get it.
In Prabhupada's pastime classes, there's so much about Krishna's activities also. But it's not Rasleela, 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 Rasleela. Krishna creating the universe, Krishna speaking to Arjuna, Krishna dealing with Kunti Devi, Krishna receiving prayers from the demigods, Krishna doing so many things. Even if you read his books, it's not that every purport, it's this, 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 this. It's not limited that Krishna means Krishna and Radharani, Krishna means Krishna and Rasleela. It's all about that, and everything else is sort of, well, we don't really know. Krishna means Krishna in full. And it also means understanding what we need to understand first. First canto, second canto, how Krishna is related to this cosmic manifestation. First, we have to understand who Krishna is. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to grasp these intimate pastimes. We'll think Krishna is such a cute kid. Or we'll think that Krishna had some amorous dealings, something like my own. We'll misunderstand it. In spite of being told 100,000 times, we'll still misunderstand it.
Another question in this regard is, why Prabhupada was not afraid to reveal all these things in his books? And he's distributing his books to a layman in the street, but not talking in his classes. Is there any,
because Prabhupada knew what to do. Actually, it's mentioned, there's a book compiling some discussions with Srila B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother. And he mentioned that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur restricted his disciples from discussing certain portions of the books, like Ramananda Sambhad, the higher part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Ramananda Sambhad, with Ramananda Roy, and some of the other confidants. He said, we could read them in the course of reading the books, but not discuss them. So, expert physician prescribes what you can do, what you can't do. You can eat this, but you can't eat that. Because he knows what's good for the patient. So for the highly self-realized souls to sit and discuss these things will be purifying. For us to discuss these things will be contaminating. We won't get it right. For us, there are other types of discussion which is appropriate. Prabhupada, while cautioning us one time that in the Back to Godhead we shouldn't present Radha Krishna Leela and all of those things, he said, of course, when I write Krishna book, in the course of describing Krishna's life, I have to describe all of these things. He said, but it's not something to be bandied about, It's not that we... Our first two topics are Sambandha and Abhideya. Who am I? What is my relationship with Krishna? To reestablish the connection. And Abhideya, the activities of devotional service. And Prayojana is another thing. It's not Back to Godhead is meant for Prayojana. For all the activities of those who are on the highest platform of love of Krishna. That's not what the public needs. They don't even know they have a connection with Krishna. Their connection is my wife, my children, my job, my company, my car, my country, my community, my bank balance, my career. That's their connections. My cousin, brother, my this, that. And Krishna, on Janmashtami, we'll go to the mandir, and we'll visit Krishna. And on Ganesh Chaturdashi, we'll go to the other mandir, and Shiv Ratri, we'll go to another mandir, and that's all. It's just we'll go to the mandir because that's our religion. But what is his actual relationship with Krishna? He doesn't know. So why is Prabhupada talking about these things in lecture after? Because that's what we need to know. He's banging on our heads. You're not this body. You're not this body. You're not this body. Why? Because we still think we're this body. That's the crux of false ego. And the whole material consciousness extends from false ego. If you demolish false ego, you've demolished the entire material establishment. And if you don't demolish false ego, and you're in love with Krishna, and you're blah, 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 and you still think you're this body, and life is meant for sense gratification, then you're going to have an awful mess. So Prabhupada is focusing on the things that we most need to understand. And if we focus in that way, we'll get the right treatment, and we'll be giving the right things, the right thing to others. It's not accidental that Prabhupada's emphasizing certain things, not emphasizing other things. Sometimes he'll mention something, Krishna, gopis. Prabhupada said in that same discussion, it's not that we've taken a vow that we'll never mention the word gopi. Prabhupada said, why boycott the gopis? But you hear how he'll mention very carefully, not that that's, you know, rice, dal, and chapatis. Little carefully sometimes he'll mention something. Not to throw it out for the general public who still think that they're this body and life is meant for sense gratification. For them, dehinosmin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara tata dehantara prapti dhira stacha namuyati. You have to become dhira. You know, these things Prabhupada will talk about. Not you have to relish the sweet rust that flows between Lalita, Vishaka, blah, 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 blah. And you don't even know that you're not this body. Prabhupada, that's one qualification of a devotee, he's expert. And Prabhupada was expert. What to present, what not to present, what to present a little, what to present a lot, what to say again and again and again. It was all purposeful, all deliberate. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Samaveta Bhakti.